Okay.
Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for April 8th, 2009. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Hill.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Luthy.
Pardon me?
I hear. Is it Luthy? Here.
Okay, let the record show Director Lucy is here. President Mann, unfortunately, is not with us this evening. Will you please join us in the flag salute?
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three is public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on any item that's not on the agenda this evening. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none. Board member items for discussion. Pamela?
I have one, and it's a reminder about cleanup week in Oceano, and that's the week of April 20th through 24th, and you can get rid of all your trash.
Was that posted on the bottom of the water bills this last time? I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Vern?
I have none.
Mary?
I have nothing, but I would like to get a committee schedule put on the agenda, so just let me know where I should do that.
Right now would be a good time.
Okay, great. Can we have the personnel committee scheduled again? It was left off the schedule, just, I don't know why, but we had mentioned the third Monday of the week at 6:30, Ms. Director Dahl, right?
Third Monday of the week is Oceano Advisory Council meeting.
Okay, so how about the fourth Tuesday of the month?
Shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I think fire, does anything else meet on that day? Okay, so the personnel committee will meet here at 6:30. For the last Tuesday of the month, the public is invited, and Gina Davis will check for availability on the room. If there's any change, we'll let everybody know, right?
You're fine.
Thank you.
That's April 28th.
Yeah.
Okay, personnel committee meeting April 28th here at the boardroom at 6:30. Okay, I have no discussion items. Brings us to review and approval of the minutes from March 25th. Any comment or corrections? Is there any public comment on the minutes? Hearing none?
I move that we approve the minutes of March 25th, 2009 as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of March 25th, 2009 as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes 4-0 with one absent. Okay, this evening we have Commander Brian Haskell from the Sheriff's South Station here. Welcome, Commander.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Commander Brian Haskell, Sheriff's Department South Station. It's been a busy month since the last time I was here. Starting with the incident in Napomo, we had two break-ins over by Oceano Pond. She was intoxicated and was turned over to her parents to take care of her. There were also two males with her, and one male in particular, Andrew Gibbs, 20 years of age from Napomo, was heavily intoxicated and gave a false name to the deputies. He ended up being arrested for public intoxication and giving a false name to a peace officer, And then once we placed him in the unit, he decided to kick out the side window of the unit and bend the door. So he was subsequently charged with vandalism as well. And that case is being adjudicated right now. We had a series of graffiti incidents occur. Maybe if some of you have been down to the post office, you've seen graffiti on the side of that business next to the post office. Through some calls that we received in some other graffiti related to that, we were able to catch a total of six subjects in the act of graffitiing. Several of them were at the community center, and the others were later found the next night over in Napomo, or next day in Napomo, in the process of doing graffiti over there. And all six of them went to jail for vandalism, and those cases are going through currently going through the juvenile court process right now. What we have is an issue where Oceano was upset because the Napomo gang tagged Oceano. Oceano went out and crossed the tagging out to put their own and got caught doing it. Then the next day they decided to go over to Napomo and tag up Napomo with Oceano graffiti, and they got caught again doing it. So I guess you could say it's Napomo 2, Oceano none, but not to make light of that. But we also are investigating an assault with a deadly weapon that occurred the night after the tagging, which we believe is related to both incidents of graffiti. And our gang task force is working on that case right now to try to figure out who did what. And hopefully we'll get a filing or an arrest out of that too. Two other items. We've had two armed robberies occur in the last 3 weeks. One was over at Long's Drugs on Teff Street in Napomo. An elderly gentleman was attacked and beaten, and his wallet was taken from him. 18 years of age, out of Napomo, is responsible for both of those and is currently in custody awaiting trial on $185,000 bail. Quite a few charges pending right now. Gang Task Force is working on arresting the second person involved in those robberies, and we're hoping that'll come soon. Last item I have is, you might have seen some news broadcasts regarding a white van that was driving around Grover Beach. It was also seen in Napomo and Oceano that a subject appeared to be trying to entice younger children into the van we're assuming, nefarious means. We were able to locate that subject on April 4th at about 11:54. We received a call from a girl who was being followed by a subject in the white van. We were able to catch up with the subject down at Central Market. His name was LaRue Morales, age 56, transient in the area, apparently living in the van. He was arrested for annoying a child under the age of 18 years. Two victims in that case. We've also met with the Grover Beach Police Department and Aurora Grande to see if he matches the description that we had for the other incidents. So we're hoping that'll be the case and we can put a stop to this once and for all. And that's all I really have at this point. If anybody has any questions they'd like to ask.
Questions?
Thanks for your thorough report. So, for people who suspect or are curious about say somebody, a stranger in the neighborhood, you know, small children and stuff, can you talk a little bit about being able to go online and type in our zip code and be able to see the faces of the sexual predators that do reside in the Oceano area? Are we still at 36? I mean, that's a very high number for small community.
I haven't checked recently what the actual number is. I believe that's pretty accurate as far as 36 goes, the last time I checked. What you're referring to is the Megan's Law website. It's available from the Department of Justice up in Sacramento. Anybody can access it. As you said, type in the zip code, and you'll come up with all the what are called sections, maneuver around to find it, but it's really easier, I found, to do it the other way.
Right. And you'd be surprised what you find on that website. I found my neighbor, you know, so, you know, it is surprising, but it's good to know what's around you. Now, can you speak about one other thing, too, is that unfortunately, because, you know, we haven't cured homelessness in this country, you know, we did have some people who were collecting in an encampment down on the, you know, down south of the here a little bit. And I had talked to the local businesses around there, and they were of no nuisance, and just basically seeking shelter. And then I drove by today, and then the field had been cleared. That what they had been using to cover themselves from the elements, tarps and stuff, were in dumpsters and stuff. So can you talk to us a little bit about what happened there, and also really where are the people?
Mm-hmm. We received a complaint from one of the business owners down on Cienega regarding these subjects. We went down and checked on the subjects. We did find a lot of waste material, human feces, things like that, that were in there. It was really an unhealthy, unsanitary environment that they were living in. Also, we were contacted by the owners of the property who live in Paso Robles, who told us they did not want the subjects on the property and they wanted them removed. So we went through the Penal Code Section 602 trespassing process with them. We gave them adequate time to pack up their belongings and move themselves, because it is private property, and they did remove themselves from the property. As far as where they've gone, we're still trying to determine that at this point. It was the property owners who came down and cleared off the debris that was left, as well as the a lot of the shrubbery things that were on the property, because they're in the process of trying to sell the property.
Right. Okay. Just one more thing, too, is that, you know, because I do care what happens to people, is that, you know, if there's some kind of protocol, some kind of referral system, so you're just not, like, you know, kicking somebody out onto the highway,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really does make a long-term, you know, situation a little bit better.
Well, I don't disagree with you, because the next thing will happen is they'll move to another piece of property and we'll get a call, and it's an ongoing, continual cycle.
Right.
So we do try to refer them, Section 290, which is the...
Pedophiles?
Yeah. In this county, we participate in the Sexual Assault Felony Enforcement Program, which is a state-funded program where our deputies go out every 3 months and they check on every single one of the people on Megan's Law to make sure that they are in compliance with the requirements that they have to meet by law, and that they it allows us to keep track of them better. If they've moved, we try to locate where they've gone to, make sure they've re-registered properly. And this system's been up and running for quite some time. We just completed our checks last month for our station, and we found three or four subjects who had left and apparently not re-registered, so we asked the district attorney's office for filing in that case. Countywide, we have about a 98% compliance rate at this point, which is probably the highest or close to the highest compliance rate in the state of California. So we do the best we can with the tools we have.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from the public? Okay. Thank you very much, Commander. I want to compliment you and your staff, who always react professionally, and you've done a great job for us with the graffiti arrests and keeping everybody safe here. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you.
You guys work really hard and in a lot of trying circumstances. Interventions and things that the public is usually not aware of, and I've always seen the deputies act in the utmost professionalism, and I have great respect for your efforts for us. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I appreciate your comments. I will pass them on to my staff.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up is Fire Department Operations. We have Captain Craig Angelo here with us tonight. Craig?
Good evening. For the month of March, we responded to 93 calls in total, 50 of those were in Oceano, 14 were in Grover Beach, 13 in Arroyo Grande, and 13 with Cal Fire, three of them on the beach. Of the 50 in Oceano, 36 of those were EMS, four were fire-related, and 10 were miscellaneous calls. Puts the total for the year at the end of March at 218 is our call volume so far. We're running about average. We're pretty close. Well systems and stuff. We have to go down into those. We just did a not an operations as much as a awareness training on that. We did minimal operations on that. But it was good training. It's the base bare bones basic of what we do here. Our advanced training goes on over usually at the sanitation district, and they allow us to go over there and actually send a dummy down in a hole and go rescue them. Which they'll do that a couple times a year. As far as other things of interest, we did cover Santa Maria City for about an hour and a half last month. They had a commercial structure fire where most of their resources were tied up on that. They also had an engine tied up out on 166. They had a multi-semi truck accident and fire out there. So we were actually the only engine for the whole city for about an hour and a half. It's kind of interesting how that happens. It's pretty rare that we go that far south, but we do. Cal Fire was also tied up with the same call on 166 at the same time, so that's how we ended up going down there.
Craig, I have a quick question.
Okay.
So that's a different county, Santa Maria, and do we bill them for that time? Do we just say, well, you cover me next time, or?
The way that one would work is that was through the Master Mutual Aid Plan.
Uh-huh.
Which there's two different ways of doing it. Master Mutual Aid is free, and that's throughout actually the entire U.S. now, where you request a piece of equipment, and you've got that piece of equipment for free for as long as you need it. The other one is it's a paid plan, and it used to be 12 hours. I think they moved it to 24 hours. For that first 12 or 24 hours, you're there for free or at the cost of your own department. After that, it's retroactive, and then you bill for that.
So which one do we have?
Well, we work off of both. We're required to work off of both.
So ultimately, Oceano absorbed the cost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other herbs are the active votes on the association. And then on the 24th of April, there'll be a blood drive here from 3 to 7 p.m. And fire department will have food and beverages here for those who donate. So please come down and donate some blood.
Great. Thank you very much. I know you guys have been real busy, too, but I had forgotten about the truck incident on Highway 166, which you just reminded me of, and that was quite an issue, and it's good that we can help our neighbors when necessary, and then also when we get into trouble, they help us. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, the whole county of San Luis was pretty busy that night. It was the same night of the commercial structure fire in Atascadero as well, so... We had quite a bit going on in both counties.
Sometimes it just all happens at once.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you and all of the members of our department and the three departments.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any public comment on the reports? Hearing none, we'll receive and file. Thank you. I'll continue in the regular numerical order. Item 7 is fire items. There's none this evening. Item 8 is utility items. The first is 8A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is our continuing disclosure of the emergency that the board declared following the San Simeon earthquake in December 2003. And if, as you might recall, every meeting after that, with the until the conclusion of the emergency, the board has to determine that the emergency is still in force. Is there any public comment on this item? Any board discussion? Motion?
I move that we continue the state of emergency on cleaning and inspection.
Second. I second. Well,
yeah, well
okay. We third.
Okay, I hear Director Dahl first, so yeah. We have a motion and second to continue the declaration of emergency. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 8B is CDBG-funded earthquake damage project. Gina, do you have...
Days of work that required additional time and materials. The intersection of Highway 1, 13th, and Paso Robles, when they exposed the pipe on the western side, they found that it was encased in a 15-inch steel case, which they were not prepared for. So it took extra time and materials. The total of that change order then is $4,605.78. And the recommended action before your board by public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, left out discussion, is approved change order number 3 for $4,605.78.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Public comment on this item? Hearing none, board discussion?
Well, it's interesting. We got in our packet the report from Wallace Group, and it shows what went on there. So you can see the broken sewer line. You can see what they had to do to shore up to get across the highway. I think it's cheap.
I tend to agree.
I'm not opposed. I just have one quick question. This project, has it come in approximately what we anticipated it to be in the general area? You know, we hear stories of, you know, contractors, and I'm not saying this one at all has ever done this, but, you know, they submit one proposal, and then as the project goes on, you know, there's more and more costs. I mean, we've all dealt with it in one way or another in our professions, and so has this project pretty much been within reason? Because I don't see a lot of changes coming forth or increases and stuff, so, or are they internally handled?
No, the change orders do come to us, and yeah, they're minimal so far, yeah, unless they find something such as this kind of situation, which they didn't expect, and they found in the other sections, they found a couple of things. So
it's
bound to happen.
So I want the contractor then for being fair and honest in submitting the cost of these projects.
Yeah, it's documented
it
in pictures
too many times.
And everything. So the hours, the pictures, the cost to do
great
the slurry
report.
Backfill.
Right.
Yeah, I'm very pleased that they're sending us the report because it's really interesting.
I recall it.
There was one significant expansion of the project because some additional money came available from the county. So that's really in a different class from what Director Lucy was questioning.
Right.
This is the same contractor that when the earthquake hit, they put a truck out in the community and a crew for a day and a half and never charged us a dime for it. Mm-hmm.
That's R. Baker Construction. It's done quite a bit of work for the district and very well over the years.
Maybe they'd like to do his own.
Okay. I think we did. I ask for public comment on this item. Is there any public comment? Okay. Hearing no public comment at this time.
I move that we approve change order number 3 for $4,605.78.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the change order number 3 for the CDBG sewer project in the amount of $4,605.78. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 9 is administrative items. We have none this evening. 10 is report of district representatives. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on April 1st. Probably some poetic justice in that. One of the issues was new centrifuge equipment purchase. We authorized purchase of a new centrifuge. The plant has been operating with leased and failing centrifuge for some time. They've got a lease unit in now that's a rather high-priced issue. They're will be pouring a pad, building a building, acquiring the new centrifuge, putting that in. This centrifuge is one that the staff was able to borrow for a week and try it out, and it worked very satisfactorily. And it is compatible with all the... Last item is the biosolids lagoon lining. This is a proactive response where the lagoon has red rock right now lining it, and they'll put in a more permanent lining. This is, goes hand in hand with the centrifuge project, and it will allow removal of material by front-end loaders and automatically without disturbing the bottom of the lagoon or damaging that red rock base. So we also noted that David Brooks from Templeton was elected to LAFCO. I think we may have reported that here already. I'm sorry. David Brooks from Templeton CSD was elected as the LAFCO Special District's representative. And President Mann, of course, also serves on LAFCO. So that was the Sanitation District meeting. Vern?
Yeah, I attended the Personnel Committee March 30th. I'm going to let Mary Lissy report on that. And I also attended an ethics training through the Airport Land Use Commission this time. And so I get to get another perspective from it, from another training source, which was quite nice. And that's all I have.
Okay, Pamela?
I attended the fire committee meeting last night. Captain Angelo has reported on most of what went on for as far as the fire department, what they have been doing. But our Captain Bova explained about the update on the fire engine grant. So that grant, he's doing putting the final touches to that. This is the Type 1 engine grant application. We're looking at, they're thinking close to $470,000, and we're hoping that we can, we're hoping that we get the grant at a reasonable amount that we have to put in. So the grant is going to come to the board for approval at the next regularly scheduled board meeting, which is the 22nd. And what is that going? Chief Hubert wanted us to know that the Veterans of Foreign Wars is doing recognizing firefighters and safety personnel. That's going to be happening on April 22nd, and we are going to be represented by Sean Waltham, who is our Firefighter of the Year for Oceano. So that's a nice thing that's going to be happening. At the Veterans Hall that's in Pismo Beach, I believe. So that was That was the fire committee meeting, and then we had the codification review session. Probably Barbara and I picked the easiest codification one to do, mainly because we're going to let this kind of wait until the next code, California Fire Code, comes into effect. And actually, it begins in July 1 of this year, 2009. There's 180 days to adopt it. And if you want to be more stringent, you can do that, and you do have to go before the Board of Supervisors. If you don't, it just adopts, it just happens, so that you're covered by that code in January. So in January, you would be covered by the California Fire Code, and it would be the 2010 code, I believe. So that updates every 3 years. It's based on the international fire codes. It's called the California Fire Codes. The fire codes are still, the newest ones are still active for us because we didn't have to do anything. It just adopts automatically. But if we wanted to be more restrictive, we'd have to speak to those issues. And the other thing we wanted to speak to is kind of coming in alignment with our other, with Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande as much as possible with anything we might put in our fire codes, since that is, fire consolidation is on our list to do, and it's going to be happening, we hope. We'd like to, you know, kind of get everybody's ideas of what things you'd like to see in the fire codes. And one of the things we did as a part of that, they could handle the code enforcement here and clean us up a little bit more and also make it safer in this community. So that's one of the things we're looking at. And those will be coming up. We'll be looking at those, you know, later this year. But we've got the easy one. And the other thing is, I think Jim and I have to set a time for our next water codification. We missed one because we had another meeting scheduled, and the sanitary district meeting is the 15th. Maybe we can do it after that, try doing it again, now that neither of us is sick and other things aren't impeding that. So that will be the hard one. We'll make up for it.
At least get the process started.
Yeah, if that will work for you, you think?
I'll check my schedule and make sure.
And that's it for my report.
Mary?
Let's see. Did I have to go to any trainings this week, month? No, I think I've about trained out for this month. So the personnel committee met, and we discussed looking at the subcontractors of the district. Because we have to pass an annual budget, we have to know how much we have going into subcontractors, because many times they get lost in the real budget. And so we reviewed the contract with legal counsel, Kirk and Seamus, and we had talked to our interim general manager, attended that meeting. We had asked him for a couple things, so I want to just make sure that those things occurred. But we did review the contract. We wanted to review the Wallace contract, but there was no attachments included in the packet. So if you don't have a scope of work, it's a little hard to review a contract, which seems to be kind of a common thing. And I don't know if it's an initiation, but, I'd rather just be paddled than to not get information. So, just in the future, you know, we have to include the scope of work, what, you know, otherwise you can review the contract, but if you don't know what the contract is, you know, supposed to carry out, then it's a little hard. We also want to look at the personnel policies and procedures and try to kind of get a more of a general, well, each department is different, but at least some kind of cohesive policies going. And in the book, I found a great directory, but not much explaining each reference. And I think it's because I just haven't caught up with the history of the district. And I know it's in there somewhere in one of those binders, darn it. But so, but the personnel committee does have a lot of work to do. I strongly encourage the public to attend because this is where we put forth policies to the board on how our personnel are going to be treated in this district and have some consistencies when we go to, say, hire a new employee, that one area isn't going left and the other area isn't going right and information gets lost. So there has to be consistency in your personnel. Otherwise, you have mass turnover constantly and contradictions, and ultimately you look really stupid. So we had talked about trying to pull together what's already been created so we don't recreate the wheel and then add what needs to be done. For example, we're not quite sure you can bank sick hours. I think by state law, you have to use them or lose them at a certain point. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Excuse me. You cannot cash out your health insurance. You can't say, I'll take this amount of money and waive health insurance. So we're not clear on that. So it's things like that where the laws have changed and we don't have those policies. So so we have a lot of administrative work to do. And then, you know, trying to pull those pieces together and get them put into the codification, however that is. But most of all, we need to know how much all this work is going to cost us, honestly. You know, so well, I think that this committee is an important committee to the infrastructure of the district. And it's just a matter of doing it. And I really, really welcome people attending meetings. I think subcommittees is a great place for the community to come in and have their opinions put in. And most of the time I find those opinions pretty darn valuable. So so that's on the personnel. And then I had some other stuff. Last board meeting, we passed a state of emergency on four items, state of economic emergency. Now, my understanding is when a district passes something to that effect, that certain steps are to occur. And so I don't know if that resolution was sent on to the county and then sent on to the state of California and sent on to the right people, if it sits on the corner of a desk, because it's nowhere to be found in the agenda. I received, you know, recommendation, I mean, just three letters of inquiry, you know, for grant writers. But when you declare a state of emergency, it's more than just saying, hey, you know, we're in crisis over here. You know, there are certain, you know, legislative things that occur so you get out of that situation. And I'm not so sure that, since we don't have a public policy committee, that I don't know if it went anywhere. So, yeah, you know, I haven't been able to get an, you know, and I can't ask, you know, Gina for everything, but it's really the interim general manager's job to continue that action going. And so I see that the president didn't include that on the agenda, and so include the other state of emergency, but not the most recent state of emergency. Sewer lines is...
Let me ask legal counsel, if I could. Last week, I know Ryan Fothergill was here, but we passed a declaration of emergency relating to the financial issues in the district. Is that one that we need to continue to vote on at each meeting until determination of the emergency?
The short answer to that question is no. The point of the state of emergency that was created or was declared for purposes of the earthquake has to do with establishing a necessary precedent so that you don't have to go through the normal bidding processes, so that you can, under that emergency authority, expedite over these many years the taking care of what the emergency is. With regard to the action that was taken at your last meeting, I'm not aware of any legal precedent for it. I'm not aware of any requirement or ability to pass it on to the county or to the state or to anybody else. So there may be something that I don't know about, but I've been doing this for a long time and I've never heard of this proposition.
Well, there's always a first time.
Is there a particular statute that you were trying to do this
under?
Yeah,
there is particular statutes that it falls under.
Could you give me the code cite?
No, I can't. I'm not an attorney, and no, I can't cite codes off the top of my head. But, you know, I know that you can go online, and they will tell you exactly, you know, what steps to go through. You can call any of your assembly member reps. You can call their aides, you know. It's best to let your local politicians know. It's, you know, really it's also best to let your local newspaper know that your city and area is in this much dire straits. This is regarding economic funds, the same as the sewer system.
Well, there
one
may be...
was caused by an earthquake, one was caused by greed.
There may be some political value to doing it. I'll certainly grant you that. But I'm not aware of anything that gives you any particular legal status as a public agency by doing it. And I did Google it after the last meeting, and I wasn't able to find anything that talks about an economic state of emergency. There's all sorts of programs if you have a natural disaster state of emergency that open up state and federal funds for you by declaring the state of emergency, but I could not find anything with regard to an economic state of emergency.
So anyway, we'll follow up on the action that the board took. I hope it's not sitting someplace, because it is a very valuable tool to have, particularly when you're applying for grants. I also see that we have a draft auditor's report, but it's not on the agenda. We have a draft budget, but it's not on the agenda. I think it's a budget. Well, so I was wondering why we had all this stuff in the packet, all really good, important, needed stuff, but none of it was booked onto the agenda.
That was presented to you in the weekly report, not uh-huh. as part of the agenda, and I believe there was a report with it that said, please review these. It was part of the actual letter itself, saying, please review this document. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact the interim general manager, and that Mr. Levy from Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim will be here on the 22nd to present the audit.
Right, that was for the audit.
Right.
For the 06 audit, correct?
That's 07.
07.
Mm-hmm. June 30, 07.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, the one we received.
Mine says 06, I'm sorry. It says 06, I'm sorry.
Okay, draft audit for June 30th, 07.
Okay. So I'll find the right audit. I don't know how 07 got it, 06 got in here, but.
Yeah, mine says 07.
Yeah. That's what makes me think it's initiation. I know I'm a junior here at the table, but I'd rather be paddled.
Well, we want you to have all the historical documentation before we give any current stuff.
Okay. No, really. Oh, there's 07 right there. I got both. Great.
You got a bonus. Yeah.
I know.
So you got more than the rest of us.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we're going to, at the Personnel Committee, just so you know, the CMAS subcontract is on there, and hopefully we'll have the attachments for the Wallace contract. And the Personnel Handbook, Trustee L Handbook. Thank you.
Okay. Board discussion or comments on the reports? Any public comment on the reports? Okay, moving on.
One more thing. I'm sorry. Okay. It was just such a big packet. So we also got this glossy report, and then can you speak a little bit about the nursery guy? Ex-director book out and his current lawsuit filing against the district?
Okay.
Is that appropriate or inappropriate? I'm sure it's inappropriate.
Well, at this point, anyway.
No, I asked you to back up.
It should be under board member items for discussion, not under your
report. Oh, I thought he said we were up for discussion.
No, we're under your report.
Jim, you can put this down the agenda further. I didn't mean to sabotage your process.
Okay. I don't feel sabotaged.
You know, I if I know the rules, I'm really okay. good at following them.
Well, right now we're on your okay. reports.
Oh, no, I thought
Next item then would be the general manager items for discussion. It says there was none. Is there? Curious through. Okay. Let us then do the warrants right now, and then we'll take the closed session item. Thank you to the staff for getting the warrants all here timely. Was well presented.
Yes.
Good job. Questions or comments on the warrants? Is there any public comment on the warrants? Hearing none. Do you have a motion?
I move that we pay the warrants as presented to us.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we pay the warrants as presented. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0 with one absent. Okay, we have item number 12 then is our closed session business item.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
does reference in error position being considered as interim general manager, and it should be general manager.
Okay, how does that affect what we can do tonight?
Well,
I don't think that's significant.
What?
The fact that the agenda states the position that's under consideration is the interim general manager position as opposed to the general manager position.
Two entirely different things.
It's essentially the same position. The difference is the length of service, the anticipated length of service.
One is an employee and one is not.
No, actually, they're both employees.
An interim would be considered an employee, not a consultant?
Mr. Walsh is a statutory employee of the district.
Okay. Temporary, though. Would the term interim be defined as temporary?
Interim means that they're here for a short period of time between other individuals, which at the end of the day, we all are. But it is clearly intended to be for a relatively short period of time. If the board has any uncomfort level with it, I have no problem with continuing it. I'm not sure who would give the report, given that Mr. Walsh isn't here. Perhaps Vice President Hill would be doing the report, or...
Well, it didn't come to the Personnel Committee, which it should have come to the Personnel Committee, but...
Well, I don't even know
right,
what the matter
so
is, because I don't...
We can't give that report because it, you know, it's a personnel issue, but didn't come to personnel. So let's do it another way.
I think it would probably give the board an opportunity to just discuss the latest developments on this subject. So what this is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 (b)(1) to consider appointment or employment of a public employee. The position under consideration is interim general manager or general manager. So with that, we'll move to closed session.
Thanks, Mark.
Mary, do you have your microphone on?
Microphone.
Okay. Okay, we've returned from closed session, and I'll ask District Council to give a report.
Yes, Vice President Hill, members of the board, members of the public. With regard to item 12A, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to consider the appointment or employment of a public employee, the position under consideration being the interim general manager and the general manager position. The board met in closed session, received a report, and took action to reinitiate the recruitment process. And that was by a unanimous vote.
Okay, thank you. Next item then is board member items for discussion. Start again with Pamela.
Nothing further.
Vern? Mary? Discussion item?
I did have something, didn't I? And
I believe you wanted to talk about former director Bookout and some.
In our packets, we received lengthy, glossy pictures of the mud puddle that used to be a mud puddle, but we're in the middle of a drought right now, so there's no puddle at all. And from, I don't know where this came from. The
Are you talking about the one page they had?
No, it's not a one pager. It's Director Bookout, ex-Director Bookout's lawsuit naming the district and the appeal process. You see this?
Well, I'm not sure what you got in your package, but I did. Earlier this week, received from Adam Daner, the attorney that's been representing the district in
yes.
connection with the litigation, a copy of a notice of appeal that has been filed by Director Bookout that appeals the ultimate decision that was reached in the litigation. that starts a time clock within which the records that will go to the Court of Appeals have to be designated by both sides, and some significant amount of money will be spent, presumably mostly by the plaintiff, former Director Bookout, to get the items designated and up on appeal. Then a briefing schedule will occur, and following that, there may be oral argument in the Court of Appeal. Often oral argument is waived, but there may be oral argument, and a decision would be rendered by the District Court of Appeals.
So let me ask you, what does that mean for us as a district? Are we going to incur staff hours photocopying, copying of records?
Generally speaking, no.
Legal, you know, you on the phone.
The way this happens is the appeal says that, assuming that all the facts that were determined to be true are true, the judge interpreted the law incorrectly in reaching his decision, or her decision, his decision.
There were two judges.
That's right. They decided different elements. Right. Yeah. They applied the law incorrectly. So what the court does is they look at the record that gets sent up, which is usually copies of everything in the court file, or virtually everything in the court file, along with a transcript of the in-court proceedings. And the appellant then, as part of that, charges what they think the specific errors were, and has the opportunity to brief those and try and indicate to the Court of Appeals why they think the law was misapplied. And Mr. Daner, on the district's behalf, would have the opportunity to do the same. Because it doesn't involve any new testimony of any sort, there would be, other than staff or my office giving you occasional updates on the progress of it, I don't think it's going to take any staff or district time. The attorney's fees involved in the appeal are covered by your insurance policy within the total dollar limit of the insurance policy. This is a first dollar of defense policy. There's no deductible.
So, my understanding is he's requested copies of all court documents from every single entity that he's named.
Well, he doesn't go and get them from the entities. He gets the documents that are on file with the court. And the court prepares, there's two transcripts. One's called the clerk's transcript. That's copies of all the pleadings and the motions and everything else. So it could be a stack a foot high or more. And he pays a copy charge to the county clerk's office, San Luis Obispo County Clerk's Office, for having that prepared. The second part of the transcript is what's referred to as the reporter's transcript, and that's what the stenographic reporter takes down in court of the proceedings. And that could easily cost at least a few thousand dollars, perhaps more, to prepare that, depending upon how long it is. It's all done by the page.
The reason why I ask you this is that we're so short-staffed. You know, our staff is stretched, right? And to have them pull off, I just want to be reassured that this is not dumped on the backs
of Oceania. All of the effort that I just described is done by people in the clerk's office for the San Luis Obispo County Superior Court. The only way the burden ever ends up falling on the citizens of Oceano is if the appeal is won, and then it goes back to trial, and then Mr. Bookout prevails at trial.
Thanks for that explanation. Mm-hmm. That helps.
You bet.
So here we go again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have 30 days to decide whether it's factual or not.
Oh, no, this process is likely to take 6 to 9 months.
Okay. Yeah.
My partner finished up an appeal on a much simpler case than this one. And it was about 7 months from the day the appeal was filed until the day the final determination was made. And that was just recently.
Yeah. So maybe as a board, we might want to consider maybe having a policy or help me with my wording, but, you know, like things that, you know, as directors that we don't do. We don't sue the people that we represent at the table. I mean, I just don't know how to move forward on that because, you know, I just think it's the tackiest thing when an elected official turns around and sues the people he's supposed to be or she's supposed to be electing. So if you could consider a resolution, and maybe it's in spirit only, not, you know, legally, but in spirit only, you know, as an ethics, as a moral issue.
Well,
Laundry.
Yeah, I understand, and as you know, we exchanged a couple of emails back in December on this subject. There are some issues with state law preempting the district's ability to act in this field. I did a little bit of reading in the last few days on this topic, and what it appears is about the most that the public agency can do is you can issue an order of sanction, which is really not an awful lot more than a hand slap. But you can issue a
censure.
Yeah, it's essentially the same as censure. It's another way of saying essentially the same thing. And there are a few limited situations where, in somewhat different contexts, along with that censure, some privilege of the office was taken away that was not a privilege that's governed by state law. As a matter of fact, there was one fairly recent situation involving one of the sister public agencies in this county.
They lost their laptop?
Where somebody lost their laptop. So you kind of get the flavor for how that kind of thing might work.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, it be law, but that, you know, we don't appreciate that here. Yeah. We don't do that to our neighbors.
I think the if that's the direction you want to go in, because those situations are so fact specific, and it is an unusual circumstance that one of the elected officials is suing or was suing the district, I think you really need to deal with them on a situation by situation basis. I am personally familiar with another situation a few years ago where a public agency had to sue one of its elected officials to try and recover some money that they thought was owed, and that became a difficult situation, and there were issues about whether there should be censure and some of the rights taken away in that situation as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hill, for the time.
Okay, that brings us to item number 15, which is closing public comment, if there is any. Hearing none, are there any written communications? No written communications. Okay, that brings us to the end of the agenda for this evening. We're adjourned.